Welcome to the new Spring 2021 series of the Colorado BQA Chat podcast. My name is Libby Bigler, and I'm the Colorado Beef Quality Assurance State Coordinator, and I'll also be your host for today's podcast episode. I hope you've had an opportunity to listen to our fall series of the podcast, where we brought you insight on topics like cattle handling with Dr. Temple Grandin, using BQA as a marketing tool with CSU's Dr. Jason Ahola, and disaster management in the cattle industry with LSU's Dr. Christine Navarre. We're excited to use this platform as a way to help listeners further engage with the BQA program, and we hope this podcast will help you apply BQA on your operation. We're excited to bring you a new series this spring, highlighting Colorado's national BQA award winners and nominees, while providing you unique perspectives from those in the beef industry who are applying beef quality assurance practices on their operations every day. The Colorado BQA Chat podcast is brought to you by Colorado's Beef Quality Assurance Program, and is funded by the Colorado Beef Council and Colorado State University's Department of Animal Sciences. As always, if you're interested in becoming BQA or BQA Transportation Certified, please give me a call at 970-491-BEEF or log on to bqa.org. Today, we'd like to welcome to the podcast a representative of IMI Global, who was Colorado's 2017 National BQA Marketer Award winner. Today we have with us Catherine Britton with IMI Global, and we're excited to chat with her a little bit more about beef quality assurance. Well, welcome to the podcast, Catherine. We're excited to have you, and thank you for taking time out today to chat with us a little bit more about IMI Global and how your company works to promote BQA and just promote the cattle industry. So thanks for coming on the podcast today.
Absolutely, Libby. Happy to be here.
Great. Well, let's get started. I was just hoping that you would be able to provide us and the listeners with a little bit of your own background, as well as your role within IMI Global and where food comes from. And then maybe if you could explain to us a little bit about the company and its mission, that would be helpful as we get rolling on this interview.
Absolutely, no problem. Well, let's see. I am born and raised in Washington State and came down to Colorado specifically for Colorado State University. I was an equine science undergrad, an animal science master's student, and since that time have landed myself here at IMI Global and am starting in on my 14th year with the organization. So to say that time flies a little bit would be probably an understatement when it comes to my experience here with IMI Global and where food comes from and just how that has transitioned in the years that I've been here. So when you think about the trajectory that I've taken in the organization, it's really kind of been from the bottom up. Working in some of our foundational programs with source and age verification and the desk audits that we do with cattle producers, all the way through over time to now as the senior director of operations for IMI Global. And what that essentially means is that I just have the privilege of working with an amazing team of individuals that help cattle producers from the ranch, the stocker, and the feedlot all the way through the supply chain engage in verification programs and leverage those programs out in the marketplace to bring more value back to their operation. And at the end of the day, when you think about our mission as an organization, that's really what it's all about. It's how do we reconnect consumers and producers and do so in a way that provides a value opportunity for beef producers or any livestock producer for that matter. And bringing more value back to the ranch hopefully means more sustainability within the operation, gives them the opportunity to transition the ranch back to the next generation. So really we're very, very focused on what kind of market opportunities are out there that tell the story of beef production or are asking for a specific claim about how beef is being produced and allowing those producers to engage in those systems, providing an authentic third-party verification to that, to then allow them to market their animals with those claims and hopefully garner premium value by doing so.
It seems like when you talk a little bit about the consumer side of things, you know, you think back to BQA and IMI Global received the 2017 BQA Marketer Award. I think when you outline the mission there, it makes a ton of sense that you guys promote BQA in a lot of things that you do. But if you tie that together with BQA's mission, improving consumer confidence in beef by focusing on daily production practices, it seems to tie right in with the vision and the goals of IMI Global. So I think there's no doubt in my mind why you were selected for the 2017 BQA, National BQA Award. But I want to kind of dig a little bit deeper into that. So I know you're very familiar with BQA, obviously, having won the award. But in your mind, do you think it's important to take the BQA program, maybe just be beyond the education that we do right now? So, you know, I go out and do trainings, and there are many people across the state and country that hold a BQA certificate, which basically is their contract saying, yes, I will abide by these production practices. But do you think it's really important for us to go beyond that, kind of the, here's my certificate, I'm doing as I say, into this deeper dive into verification? And if you do, which I would assume you would, why do you think that's important?
That's a great question. And first and foremost, you know, BQA really is the foundation of setting an operation up for taking that next step into verification. One of the things that BQA does is establish training protocols and operational procedures, education, et cetera, that really help to establish practice on a ranch that will then help us to measure that practice and document that practice as part of a verification program. So without a doubt, the foundation is very much BQA when you look at standardizing animal health practices throughout the industry. And then verification allows us to take that a step further. And what is so important about doing that is it really is the vehicle to bring this type of market opportunity back to the ranch or back to the stalker. In many cases, without that verification element to this process, we're unable to get producers into those markets that are asking for this third party verification type of system. And sometimes they're specific as well. So you have this foundational layer of BQA, but maybe that market is asking for something specific about hormones and their use in the animal, or something specific about antibiotics, or you can get into the bigger discussion around sustainability and how we measure that. When you add that technical layer on something that's very specific, it allows us to then come in as a third-party verifier, look at the protocols and procedures that are on place already at that operation, and then assess for that specific ask, right? That specific claim or market they're trying to get into. And we can then level up the work they've already been doing with their investment in BQA, their education, the trainings that they've participated in, you know, working with you here in Colorado, and take that to the next level by getting that certificate and being able to move that animal then through the supply chain in a traceable way, which is the other important element of this, right? Having that EID tag in the ear so we have that individual animal identifier that we can tie all of these things to, and then move it through the supply chain and have something of value to bring back to the operation.
I've heard some people use the analogy of BQA being kind of an on-ramp into these other programs. And I think you outlined that really well in that response there. So I don't know, would you agree it's kind of like an on-ramp? It's one of those foundations that kind of help create the standard practices. And then, as you mentioned, you can kind of go above and beyond in different directions, depending on what market you want to get into to add that value, right?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that BQA helps producers to instill in their operation is some simple record keeping. And you know, and we see this all the time, producers know exactly what's going on with their animals. They know exactly where they move them certain times in the year, what pastures they go to. They know when that first calf hits the ground, but that doesn't always mean that they're recording that. And one of the things that I think BQA does is help to establish the base of record keeping and standard procedures so that as an operation then looks at a verification system, it's less daunting to think about translating their daily activities into specific types of records to allow for that verification process to take place. So it is for sure the gateway to a third-party verification program.
Absolutely. I've noticed that as well. I know oftentimes BQA has some assessment guides that we're able to use, you know, on the ranch or on the feedlot that help folks kind of prepare maybe for a third party assessment, depending on what program they're in. And I've kind of gone out and done some second party assistance with folks. And you're exactly right. They know everything that goes on. But if it's not in a record keeping form or fashion or documented in some way, that makes it really tricky when you do get a third party auditor that comes out to kind of look at what's happening on your operation. And so I think that's a great point that you make, that really one of the foundational pillars in BQA itself in the educational program is record keeping. And as you move through the process of a third party audit into some of these value added programs, that's really, really foundational. So I think that's important to keep in mind.
Absolutely.
So I think one of the things that we talk about a lot, and maybe wasn't really on our radars 20 or 30 years ago, maybe not as much as it is now, but something that producers really take pride in is animal care. And I think one of the things that we notice, and I've done previous interviews with folks that are more researchers in animal welfare, but from your perspective, what kind of differences do you see in how consumers perceive that point of animal care versus producers? I think sometimes consumers have a little bit of a different perspective because there is that disconnect, and producers think animal care is important to them because it's part of their job. But I think there is a disconnect there. So how do you kind of put those pieces together and make it to where consumers understand what our producers are doing in terms of animal care?
One thing that I always come back to, and I think is a really powerful statement, is something that Secretary Vilsack said, as Secretary of Agriculture, back in 2017. And in a sense, he was really highlighting, I think, what we're talking about here today. And what he said was that every one of us that's not a farmer is not a farmer because we have farmers. And we delegate the responsibility of feeding our families to a small percentage of this country. And although it almost sounds kind of silly in some ways, you know, every one of us is not a farmer because we have farmers, it actually is incredibly impactful when you really sit and think about that for a minute.
Hearing you say that and hearing you say it twice is pretty powerful, almost gives me goosebumps, because I hadn't heard that quote before, and I think it is 100% true that society itself is designating farmers and ranchers to make their food. And that's why they don't have to cultivate food themselves. I think it's very powerful. So that's a great point on this subject.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, we talk a lot, and I mean, all of us in agriculture tend to focus a lot on the 2%, right? We're the 2%, only 2% of the country is feeding the world. And although that's true, I think the way that we have to really think about it is that we are the ones that are living this every day. And yet there are millions upon millions of people that aren't. And that tends to create scenarios where both sides of this coin become very defensive. Consumers have a lot of questions, they have a lot of concerns, they see an image, they saw something on social media, they had an influencer that said something about how their food was being produced. And they come at this very defensive, right? This is something they're consuming, they're buying this for their family, they're making all of these choices. It's something that they have historically many times done without really thinking about it. You know, we are incredibly fortunate in the United States to have a very diverse, low-cost, healthy food system. And recently, that's become part of the narrative, but those questions are coming up because of this disconnect. And on the flip side, producers become defensive sometimes too. You know, wait, I care about this. You know, I care about my animals. I do this 365 days a year. It doesn't matter what it looks like outside. You know, that's just what they live and breathe. And I think what we forget is that both sides are not the intention is not to attack. The intention is to understand. And so with producers, you know, their whole livelihood is wrapped up in what they do every day. And sometimes what seems so commonplace to us, or something that we've done and our parents have done and our grandparents have done that we do every day, is just, it's almost like breathing is like a foreign language to someone that's never stepped foot on an operation. So I think the first thing to recognize in this is this idea of empathy across the channel, right, across the board. And then how do we improve that? We improve that with transparency, telling the story of food production, even at the most simplistic of levels or what seems like the silliest of details to a producer that's doing it day in and day out, can be really powerful in eliminating sort of the unknown about how we raise our beef and what that looks like to the consumer. And those really are the two places, I think, from, you know, my perspective and what we have seen doing thousands of on-farm audits every year and being in that retail store at the same time, is having empathy and having transparency to authentically tell that story can really repair a lot of that disconnect between consumers and producers today.
Even on a personal level, when you talk about that, I think back to, I was at like a cousin's baby shower and she had friends there that, you know, learned what I did. And, you know, sometimes you don't realize really truly how much of a disconnect, just like you said, that, you know, production agriculture seems like a foreign language to those folks, but they are interested. You know, we had discussions about, well, my eggs, I always buy cage-free eggs. Should I keep doing this? And, you know, you can only give your opinion and what you know about, but I understand that those conversations are kind of uncomfortable, but I think even those little steps just like that, you know, spread wider than you could ever know. And so people like you all that IMI Global, I've noticed you guys put together some really excellent videos that I've seen on Facebook and social media outlets. And I think even something as simple as sharing one of those videos that you guys have put together so eloquently, I guess, could be something that some of my Facebook friends, and I'm sure many other listeners who have those folks that are disconnected from the ranch, I think they would see that. And really that is one of those steps in helping with that transparency in general. I will bring the BQA spin back to it. I know one of the really cool story bits that you've done is right here in Colorado. And they have a unique story, the Gottenborg family at Eagle Rock Ranch. They're actually one of our nominees for the Cow-Calf BQA National Award. And they're up in Jefferson. They have a beautiful property and they're first generation ranchers. And I would encourage everyone to go take a look at the Gottenborg family's story bit through Where Food Comes From and IMI Global. They're an excellent representation of a cow-calf operation that abides by BQA, but they also take it further into some of these other verification programs that IMI Global offers. So with that, I think we could transition to kind of the next question I have for you that goes back to what your company does specifically. What verification programs would you say would be like the bread and butter of IMI Global? And I think we've already discussed this, but can you tell us a little bit about where BQA merges with those programs?
So our bread and butter is absolutely what we call our umbrella programs. And we call them our umbrella programs because they're part of our USDA process verified programs. And they're the programs, honestly, that we've had as a part of our portfolio for the longest. So the market opportunity has been there for, we're going on, you know, 20 years now for certain programs. And that would be specifically looking at source and age verification, so where an animal was born, when it was born. Our NHTC program, which is non-hormone treated cattle. And that program is required for any product here in the US that we want to export into the EU. That program is a requirement for that product. And then our verified natural beef program, which is just an add-on to NHTC essentially. So it takes that element of hormone use and adds on no antibiotics and no animal byproducts to allow for a natural claim. What we see in that case is most producers enrolling sort of in the trifecta. So they'll come in and have source and age and HTC and verified natural beef as programs for their operation. It certainly doesn't mean that 100% of their animals are never doctored or, you know, something along those lines. What it does do is give them the opportunity to market into those channels the animals that meet those program requirements. So if they have a group of calves that had to, you know, go through a process, they had to get exposed to some kind of feed, or maybe they needed some medication related to pink eye or whatever might be going on in the operation that year, it doesn't kick them out of everything. They're no longer eligible to market in the verified natural program, but they still have that NHTC and source and age base to be able to go out to the market with those animals and into those programs. And we really see that bundling as a powerful tool for producers to have the ability to leverage, you know, whichever programs they're looking to enroll in, or, you know, the market is seeking. They have the flexibility to be able to layer them as necessary. Now, what we've recently introduced, so our newest program offering that we launched the beginning of 2020 is called Beef Care. And really, aside from everything else that we've seen historically when we look at verification programs, Beef Care is this step in the direction of holistic sustainability and telling that story. So within Beef Care, we have three pillars: animal husbandry, environmental stewardship, and people and community. And our whole goal with this program, again, it's how do we come on the ranch, capture the information about what the ranch is doing, all of the different activities they're doing, and then turn that into a program and measure it out so that we have something that they can go to the market with. And the growth in Beef Care has been unprecedented, to be honest. When we look at the history of verification programs and their rollout in the United States, the growth in this program in year one is unlike anything we expected. So today we're sitting at 384 operations that are not only participating but approved with Beef Care, and they're representing over 320,000 head of animals that are approved for this program. And what's so cool about Beef Care is it really builds off of a lot of what the industry is already doing. So first and foremost, one of the very first requirements of that animal husbandry pillar is BQA. We want to see that operation have everyone on site has been trained and are current in BQA practices. We just feel like that is such a critical base, just like you and I have talked about here today, on their animal management practices. And then when we look at environment and people, you know, that is really being informed by the work that the U.S. Roundtable for Sustainable Beef has been doing, just the work that we've seen over the years that the industry is doing, a lot of what the research is showing, and honestly, what we know about all of the things that producers are already managing on their operations every day that just gets lost in this story of beef production. And that's really what we feel like this program does, is it elevates the discussion around husbandry and how that translates to the animals and the land and the people. And then being able to tell those stories in a really transparent and authentic way and tying them all together is today what we're seeing producers do. So instead of just the umbrella programs or just Beef Care, they're really looking at the full suite of verification services. And some are even adding on things like grass-fed and non-GMO and other claims onto that. But today, the hub of our producers definitely are looking at that source and age, NHTC, verified natural, and then now this addition of Beef Care.
I love that in your Beef Care program, you guys have found a way to really capture and give credit to producers for things that they're already doing that I think consumers would probably find valuable if they were able to go through and look through that marketing program. It's, you know, all of those sustainability features, the people features that we already do, but there just needed to be a way to better capture and highlight those things. And I know you mentioned the U.S. Roundtable for Sustainable Beef. This is another thing that has come up in the BQA world and something that I think is important for us in BQA and something that we will probably be a little bit more challenged to make sure that we can start to verify, because, you know, the US Roundtable's metric that they have suggested is the best way to measure animal health and wellness is BQA, just similarly to your beef care animal husbandry. So, you know, they want to make sure that each segment of the industry can verify that they're abiding by beef quality assurance practices. And I think that that's really key. But, you know, when I first started this job, I didn't necessarily see BQA as a component of sustainability. You know, from your standpoint, do you feel that BQA plays a role in sustainability? I know that sometimes sustainability has varying definitions, but if you think about the long-term success of the beef industry, I feel like if we don't maintain beef quality assurance foundational practices, I think we're going to struggle to maintain beef production into the future. And so, you know, the more I look at it, the more I'm like, BQA really does match some of those sustainability goals. What are your thoughts on that?
It absolutely goes back to that foundational element of BQA. So when I think about how BQA and sustainability overlay, I look at it almost like scaffolding. BQA, again, has been this gateway to establishing production practices across the beef supply chain that allow producers to focus on record keeping, responsible use, animal handling practices. It really establishes a point that we can start from when we think about how can we have some calibration across the industry? How do we have uniformity? And when you look at what sustainability is doing, and honestly, the struggle of the sustainability story has been historically, how do we measure it? You know, how do we go out and tell the story of sustainable beef production? And in order to do that, we have to have this scaffolding. We have to have a roadmap. And BQA has really been one of the ways that we start, right? It's, if you're doing BQA, then we know you have these standardized practices on your operation. And then what we do with beef care is really dig into the details. And of course, there's a lot that goes into that. But if we have that BQA foundation, then we know that all of these operations, these 384 participating producers, all have this foundational element of beef quality assurance and how they manage their operation. And then we're just building upon that with the rest of the story of beef care.
So if there are folks out there that want to get involved or want to, you know, pursue some of these different marketing opportunities, some of your umbrella programs, or even get into beef care, I'm curious, could you help us or help our listeners understand from a technical perspective what they could expect if they were to get involved in one of these marketing programs from the auditing standpoint and beyond?
Absolutely. So the place to start for any producer is really to think of where you're going with your cattle. Because oftentimes that market, and I mean very literally the market, are you going to the sale barn? Do you have a direct sale relationship right now, ranch direct? Are you retaining ownership through the feed yard? You know, are you on a video sale? Those different types of marketing platforms oftentimes are going to really be the difference in how you might be able to leverage programs in your operation. So the first thing to think about is, what does that look like for me? Because we want to make sure that if you're investing in this opportunity, if you're going through the process of third-party verification, that you have a market for you with those cattle when you're ready to go. And we want to see buyers at the table that are looking for program cattle. So the first thing to think about is, where am I going to sell? How am I going to navigate that? Is my traditional buyer base looking for these kinds of programs? Second thing is the process. So source and age in and of itself is something that can be done off the ranch, meaning we don't have to come onto the operation to verify the claims. It is something that we can do through what we call a desk audit process, records review, that allows us to keep costs very low for the producer, but also get them started in a program tied to traceability. And we're actually seeing the evolution of source and age has been tremendous. We could do an entire podcast just on that, but what we're seeing right now is this renewed ask for age verification in the beef marketplace. And the reason is because when cattle get to the packer, if there's age verification documentation, it will oftentimes eliminate their need to do dentition or some physical kind of evaluation on the animal to determine age. And that keeps things moving, right? It keeps them going through the production at the plant. It doesn't slow things down. It also ensures that cattle are not getting kicked out if they're appearing older via dentition than they may be based on record keeping. And dentition is certainly not an exact science. I think that's been proven over the years. So having that validation that an animal is typically under 30 months of age is usually what our markets are looking for when we look at what an animal needs to be when it's harvested in order to reach certain markets. That 30 month barrier is really the goal. And if it doesn't meet that goal, then the value of that animal at processing drops significantly. So even if nothing else is getting added onto an operation right now, starting at that base source and age verification process is certainly showing value out in the marketplace today. And the process is very simple because we don't have to come on the ranch. So it's documentation submission, an application. We want to see calving records, a first calf born date at minimum. And we go through that process with the producer over the phone. So it's just a conversation, talking through the details that they've submitted, reviewing records, and then making sure we get EID tags out to them to put in those calves to tie back to that source and age claim.
That seems pretty accessible for a lot of people to do. I think some of it, you know, not participating in some of these programs really comes down to the fact that folks are just skeptical about having someone step foot on their operation. And I think this seems like a really cool opportunity that could add some value to folks. And with some of those BQA components that we teach, that we educate producers on, I think they could, you know, find an easy route into a source and age verification program through you all.
Absolutely. And we actually offer two add-ons to that source and age program as a desk audit. The first being BQA verified. So we will actually evaluate an operation's participation in the BQA program and ensure that they have valid certifications in place. And if they do, they can add that on to their certificate that they're going to get from us, that they are not only source and age, but they're also BQA verified. And then we also have a variety of breed verification programs that we work with, both internal programs, and then we also work with multiple breed associations. And I would say our most popular breed verification add-on to Source and Age today is our Black Angus verified program. And that's also something that is done at no added cost to the Source and Age process and doesn't require an on-site. So it's something that can all be done through a phone call and some records review.
Yeah, that sounds super simple. And then I think, you know, from there, as they get a feel for that, you can decide if you want to do, you know, other levels of verification and maybe see if something like beef care ends up being something that you'd want to do as a producer. So that I think that seems pretty accessible. And I think that's something that I'm sure you guys would like to share with more and more producers, because sometimes, you know, a third party audit can seem daunting. And I think sometimes people would just tie third-party auditing to IMI Global. And you know, that is kind of what you do, but the whole point is to bring value back to the producer. And I think something as simple as getting a source and age verification is probably a good way to help them kind of start that process.
Without a doubt. And oftentimes when you hear auditing or verification, people think of their experience with their bank or their experience right. with their tax man. And, you know, we're fortunate in that the core of our organization from its founding has been beef. And our team is made up of people that are born, raised, you know, blood, sweat, and tears in the beef industry. And so even if it's just a desk audit process, the person that the producer is going to be working with is someone that knows this industry in and out and was raised in cattle. And then when you look at coming on site, so taking that next step and doing an on-site audit, which would be NHTC, Verified Natural Beef Care, you know, we always say, if we're coming on site, let's maximize that opportunity. Let's mm-hmm. do as many programs as we can to make this as worthwhile. But those people that are coming on site are regional experts. So they are people that, again, are in the industry, that know the industry, and not just that, but they're almost always from the region, the same region that that producer is. We have auditors all over this country. And we do that really intentionally because every region is different. First and foremost, you know, what, how you produce cattle down in South Texas is a lot different than, you know, the west side of Montana. And we want to make sure that those auditors that are coming on site recognize what that looks like on that operation and, you know, the different kinds of challenges that those producers are faced with so that they can have a really comfortable audit experience. They understand the kinds of records, the kinds of feeds, that, you know, all of those things that are just going to be standard on operations in that region. And usually once a producer goes through it for the first time, the feedback that we always get is that it was so much easier or less daunting, or, you know, it just wasn't what they were expecting because they are always thinking about that big scary audit word before we get there on site.
With that, I want to ask you one final question and bring it back around. This spring series that we're putting through on the podcast is all about profiles and interviews with folks in Colorado who have won national BQA awards. And as I mentioned, IMI Global was the 2017 National BQA Marketer Award winner. So, Catherine, I want to ask you, what does it mean to you and your company to be recognized as a National BQA Award winner?
Well, as I said before, you know, the heart of our organization is beef. Our founders are all things beef. You know, Leanne was born and raised in the industry, actually here in Colorado. So all that we have done over the 25 years of verification services is centered around this hub of beef production in the United States. And so when we look at the recognition, you know, with that award, I think for us, it was coming back and focusing on those roots. You know, just we tend to be the tiny organization that flies under the radar. I would argue that we are incredibly impactful when you look at the industry as a whole, but that doesn't make us very big. So when we had that award come up and that was given to us, I think it was very humbling to have an opportunity to acknowledge that even though we're doing this every day and it's something that is really who we see ourselves as, you know, as an integral part of this industry, that there's others from the outside looking in that recognize that too. And as we're trying to bring value back to the ranch, and we're very focused on this sustainability story of agriculture because we want beef producers to be able to pass this down to the next generation, you know, having this award and someone coming up and saying, you know, you really are helping to instill this foundation of BQA really was important and meant something to us.
Well, I speak for many when I say that we're proud to have a company like you right in our backyard in Colorado. And actually your headquarters is in a town that I'm very familiar with, that I got married in, down in Castle Rock. And so we're really proud to have somebody that really promotes beef cattle production and the industry and really works for the producer to bring value back to them here in Colorado, and proud that you were all selected as the 2017 BQA marketer. So with that, Catherine, I want to just thank you for all that you guys do for the industry. And I want to thank you for continuing to promote and reinforce beef quality assurance through all the work that you do every single day on and off the ranch. So we appreciate it very, very much. Thank you for all of that work.
Thank you, Libby. It's been a pleasure to be with you here today.
That's a wrap on this episode of the Colorado BQA Chat podcast. Thank you to all the listeners who have tuned in and continue to support the BQA program in Colorado. Be sure to tune in next time as we continue to interview other national BQA award winners and nominees from Colorado. We'd like to thank the Colorado Beef Council and Colorado State University's Department of Animal Sciences for sponsoring the Colorado BQA Chat podcast in Colorado's BQA program. Beef Quality Assurance is a nationally coordinated, state-implemented producer education and certification program that works to build consumer confidence in beef by focusing the producer's attention to daily production practices that influence the safety, wholesomeness, and quality of beef and beef products. Remember, you can earn your BQA certification for free at any time at www.bqa.org. For in-person certifications, please contact me at the Colorado BQA office, 970-491-BEEF. Thank you, and we look forward to having you join us next time.